Hey everybody, welcome to Matt and Dory's Excellent Adventure. I'm Matt.
I'm Dory.
And here we are. And boy, oh boy, what a day. Dory really above and beyond mom-wifed today with an incapacitated husband who, let's be honest, everybody, was peeing out of his butt all day.
Wow, you really just went there, you know, right off the bat.
I had to tell the audience because we give him the real here at the show.
Well, I'm kind of bleeding.
What?
From my little mishap outside of your office door.
I want to tell everybody Dory is not bleeding.
I am. There's blood there.
No, there isn't.
And there's a big bruise.
There will be a big bruise because you do have the very sensitive external layer.
Yes.
Where it's like, even if you like bump into a doorknob, you'll have like a 9 mile bruise. What?
Yep, 9 mile bruise.
Doesn't make any sense what I just said. I'm hallucinating a little bit also. This all started Friday morning with the aforementioned symptom. And I just assumed, oh, this is your classic case of food poisoning. This will go away pretty quick. And then I proceeded to go play golf in the heat, which I managed to get through. I drank probably 2.5 to 3 liters of water, 1 Gatorade. But then like on like the 10th hole, there was a little bird that was like walking towards me. And I kind of hallucinated and I thought that the bird was a tiny robotic golfer, like with full 1910 golf clothes on, like a little Bagger Vance.
You legit saw that?
I legit saw it and legit was like, but what I was like, I'm not going insane because my first thought wasn't little magical people. It was tiny robot.
Wow.
Yeah. So after that, we went home and Dory and I watched What We Do in the Shadows. Finally, we got to see 3 episodes from season 3.
Finally.
My new favorite character is the Jalopy. And looking forward to what entails there. So then in that evening, I didn't eat in the morning or in the afternoon or in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
And then I ordered some cauliflower pizza from a place in Los Angeles called the Cauliflower Pizza Kitchen, which is your classic restaurant, Postmate restaurant that doesn't exist anywhere but on Postmates, you know, your ghost kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And I got that and I was like, I just need some real food in my tummy. And I ate that and the food was, when it was hot, oh boy, was it. It was pretty good. And then, you know, I didn't really think anything of it. And I went to bed. And then I would say the next day, I woke up and I was like, oh, I don't feel so bad. I thought I'd be sore. I thought I'd be, you know, just, what are other words I thought I would be? A mess.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt okay. And I don't remember yesterday very much. Oh, we had to get COVID tests, which I was like, this is convenient timing for my butt. So, we all got COVID tests for Henry's preschool. Dory was like, only the parents need to get tested. And I was like, I don't think so. I think literally everybody needs to get tested, included Henry. So, let's all go together. And we did. It took a long, long time. And then Dory got an email from the head of the preschool. It was like, no, no, silly gooses. Only the parents. Smiley face. So, Dory was totes right.
It's true.
She told me so. But she doesn't gloat like me. Anyway.
I don't, because I'm a mature person.
One would say that just sending the screenshot in and of itself was gloating, but that's beside
the point. No, it
wasn't
gloating. It was, hey, look, I was right. Like,
that's a gloat.
No, it's not a gloat. It's just a fact.
Whatever. What are you going to do? Start making tiny robot golfers?
I mean, maybe.
Okay, so then what else happened that day? What did we do with the little guy? Besides take him to COVID town. Take him to get the test. We kept wanting to take him to the park, but we didn't. But I was very surprised that Dory, I came home from getting Bobo, because Bobo had a rare Saturday visit, and I was very surprised to see Dory and Henry in the pool.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm usually the one that takes him in the pool, even though Dory's the certified swimmer here. I first thing I noticed was all of the golf balls that were out there were no longer out there. They were in the pool. And the second thing I noticed was Henry demanding Dita Gump.
Yes. He wanted Mama to get the golf balls first. Yep. And I was like, no way. And
why?
Because I didn't want to.
Oh, I didn't realize it was an option with Henry, because I feel like we just do what he says.
Speak for yourself.
Dita, get out.
And then he was like, Dita, golf ball. And I was like, yeah, well, we can ask Dita if he wants to get in when he gets home. And then he was like, Dita, Gump, which is jump.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, and then he's like, Dita, bathing suit.
Yeah, he really wanted me to get all suited up for it and everything.
And I was just like, look, that's up to Dita.
And I was like, bud, I have to go to the restroom and I'll be back shortly. And then I went to the restroom and I peed up my butt.
Yeah.
That was the thing. And then I was like, oh, I guess we need real food. And Dory was like, well, let's order some food then. Where do you want to order from? I was like, I don't want to make the decision. You make the decision. And she's like, I don't want to make the decision because you're on like a diet. And I'm like, yeah, but I can find something, some meats. She's like, well, what if I got sushi? I was like, well, then I try like a beef teriyaki or something. She's like, okay. So she selected a place. We ordered it at 6:10 p.m. At 8:20 p.m., Dory had a lovely conversation with our postmate. So it turns out it took Jinya so long with our order that three postmates attempted the quest. Two found it to be too tedious and retreated. Two postmates showed up and their food wasn't ready and they were like, we're canceling this order. And they left. But one stood above all and he rode a bicycle and his name was something.
Luis.
He talked to the hostess. He found out the hostess knew that two people were there before our order. Never really looked into it. Finally looked into it. What time did the food finally arrive, honey?
9:20.
No way.
Yeah.
So 3 hours and 10 minutes after our food arrived, or was ordered, did it arrive. And then I ate a couple of skewers of chicken and like a beef. And then I went to bed and proceeded to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning to pee out my butt. Dory was up reading a Kindle at 3 o'clock in the morning. Then I went back into bed. Then I got back up like 2 or 3 times. I left bed for the last time at like 5, where Dory had finally turned off her Kindle. And then I went and slept on the couch. And then this morning, got Henry up. And COVID test negative, in case anyone's wondering. For all of us. And then when I was, it changed Henry in the morning and I came in and I was like, I need help. And then Dory, you know, to her credit, she popped right up like a spring chicken. Begrudgingly helped her husband. Thank you, honey.
Dory, to her credit, popped right up
like a spring chicken.
Begrudgingly helped her husband. I did not begrudgingly.
Look, I put all the words out there and it's up to the listener or reader. Because obviously we're going to print all of these into a book someday. It's up to them to interpret. And then Dory left with Henry like a champ. And I decided I need food. I needed food. So I was like, I'll get a breakfast sandwich. So I got a breakfast sandwich from La Brea Bakery. And then 25 minutes after that, I was like, I don't think this worked. And then I started with the cold sweats and peeing out my butt. And then Dory did a pretend telemedicine with me. I figured out that I needed to take some Imodium. So I went to Rite Aid, got some Imodium and some Gatorade. And I've been in bed since 11 a.m. or so. Slowly starting to feel better and essentially better now enough to do a podcast with Dodo for all of you eggheads out there. That is the tale of the tape.
That is the tale of the tapeworm?
Yeah, maybe. Oh, that's a dream. Oh, in case anyone's wondering, yes, maybe, because I've, since Friday, I've lost 8 pounds.
Honey, don't say that.
What? That's how much water has gone out of my system.
I know, but like...
Well, you said it might be a tapeworm, so I'm extrapolating upon your bit.
I know,
but... Maybe don't have bits then, if you don't want me to proceed with them.
All right.
Because I'm just such a master improviser. Andy and I had a very funny conversation today on via text, and I'm going to read it from you for all of you. If you don't like any humor about peeing out of your butt, you will not enjoy this run. Andy's like, hey, do you want to watch Shang-Chi tonight? And I wrote, I can't. I've been bedridden with food poisoning or something all day. And I wouldn't want to poop in the theater. He goes, oh, no. Do you know what it was from? And I go, I don't. Really can't figure it out because I didn't really have anything that Dorian Henry didn't. And he's like, are you sure it's not something else? I was like, by chance, I had a COVID test yesterday for Henry's preschool. So sadly, I'm just nauseous, peeing out my butt. He goes, huh? And I go, peeing out of my butt. He goes, no, I got it, Andy. Oh, he goes, no, I got it. And I go, my butt, Andy. He goes, I understand. All liquid diet. Yes, I'm following. Nothing solid coming out of it. Yeah, no, I get it. It's like a water park down there. Right. Typhoon Lagoon out my butt. I hear you,
Matt.
I could draw you a picture if you think it might help. To be honest, I am still a little unclear. And then I wrote, well, what is coming out of my butt is very clear. And he goes, wait, what is it? And I go, third base. And then he questioned that, and I said, see, there used to be this thing called vaudeville. A popular comedy duo came out called Abbott and Costello. He goes, no, I get it. I was like, they had a very popular bit about a baseball team. Yeah, I know. You see, having been invented in the mid-1800s, baseball was still very popular in the 30s and 40s. Uh-huh, sure. And some of the players would have very unusual names. No, I understand. For instance, the first baseman. Yes, who's on first? I wrote, exactly. Fade out and scene. And then Andy goes, but I have more questions. And then I wrote, this is heard over the credits. Then in the post credits, we finish the bit. And then Andy wrote, and Nick Fury enters. And then I wrote, and shoots us both and leaves.
Wow.
It was really a good time. By the way, funnier than I thought it would be rereading it. I know Dory was like, this really is dumb. Please stop. But I was like, no, no. We're going to press on. Okay, what's next?
Well, I was just going to tell everyone about my and Henry's little trip to Descanso today.
Oh, talk day.
Yeah, talk day. There's a Japanese garden at Descanso, and it's like his favorite, and we went to it first, and he sat down on a bench so he could watch the fish and the turtles, and he ate a snack, and it was just like, we sat there for like 20 minutes, and he just was like eating his little puffs and cheese puffs, chickpea cheese puffs or something, and his bar, and pointing at the turtles, looking at the fish. It was just very like, it was just very sweet. He's very sweet.
Basically, he was having a grand old time being an old man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That sounds like, you know, that sounds like my kid.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, we had a good time. But before we take a little break, let's just remind everyone that we do have a Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/eggsandadventure. You can email us at doryandmatt@gmail.com or mattanddory@gmail.com. And our phone number is 413-461-BABY, where you can also text us.
Please do. Get in contact with the show. Maybe we'll answer your question. Chances are we will. Thank you all very much. We'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Are you ready to get active? Well, think Bombas. The better basics that take sweat-wicking, blister-preventing, friction-free movement seriously. Look. They finally admitted it. It's in the ad copy. Golfing is among the activities that Bombas is proud to be a part of. And nearly every time I golf, Bombas socks are a part of my golf game. In fact,
same today, for tennis. Same for tennis, oh, Matt.
I had to wear the high ones today because it was 37 degrees.
Wow. I bet you loved. I bet you loved those soft, breathable materials.
I loved literally everything about them, including their fun bluish green color. Look,
nice.
I've been talking about Bombas forever, guys. Socks, underwear, t-shirts are the number one, two, and three most requested items in homeless shelters, and that's why for every comfy item you purchase, Bombas donates another comfy item to someone experiencing homelessness. Performance socks are made with technically advanced features like proprietary hex tech. Oh, that makes sense now that the hex is is stitched in there. Mm-hmm. Oh, it incorporates sweat-wicking
yarns. The light bulb's going off.
Ah, supportive strategic zone cushioning, built-in ventilation to increase airflow. Bombas are a gym bag staple that are made to last and a golf bag staple. And if they experience any wear or tear, Bombas will replace them for life. I didn't know that.
Wow.
Hold the phone.
Wow.
But I was like, I got to get some socks replaced. And then I realized none of them are in need of replacement. Their performance socks are very colorful and comfortable, and you'll want to wear them even when you're not working out or hitting the links. No matter how you like to get active, Bombas has something for you. Gripper socks to help you stay balanced in Pilates and bar, or Dory's dad, whose favorite thing is socks that have grippers on the bottom. Left, right foot contoured running socks give you a perfect fit that won't slide in your shoe. Merino wool socks keep you comfy and supported all day while on the course, baby. Bombas has a 100% happiness guarantee. That means you're covered for life. Reach out anytime. Their happiness team will help facilitate easy returns, exchanges, or replacements. Go to bombas.com/adventure. Use the code adventure for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/adventure and use the code adventure at checkout. All right, we're back. No updates on my butt. Thank you.
That's good. No news is good news when it comes to your butt. Well, we haven't done a book portion of the podcast for a few weeks, so I figured why not bring it back?
Okay, well, I'm here for it, you know.
Darlene wrote in to say, I'm a longtime listener of the pod who purchased Dory's book in audio version. I only did this to support Dory because I do not read or consume audiobooks anymore. Ever since I started listening to podcasts, I lost the ability to get / stay interested in books. I was having some technical issues streaming a podcast to listen to, and I remembered that I had Dory's book. Thanks for waiting. Downloaded. And then this next sentence is in all caps. Mm-hmm. I love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Okay, back to regular case. What a captivating, honest treasure of a book for any late to the milestones female of our generation. And how exciting to get to listen to Matt and Dory's origin story in such detail.
Fast forward to today.
Where Matt is peeing on his butt. I can't wait for your next book, Dory. Tomorrow, I will be purchasing your first book.
Oh boy, reverse. Grab him.
Darlene, who is in 400 square feet with two adults and one Henry-aged boy. We are temporarily downsized from 1360 square feet while our house is under construction. Four hot dogs in 2021.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you for reading Dory's book via audio.
Yeah.
Thank you for having Dory's book read out loud to you.
Thank you also for just like supporting me. And
being an honest to goodness person who's like, you know what? I'm not going to consume this, but I want to support
Corey. And then you got
to accidentally have to consume it.
A fun surprise where you actually enjoyed it. So
did you love it? She did. How many times? 1, 2, 3, 4 loves it.
Yep.
Lovitz, Lovitz. John Lovitz. All right. Dory's book portion is temporarily suspended. We now move into the email portion.
Okay.
From Anonymous. Hi there. I'm writing in to hopefully help with the listener questioning her no deoxyribonucleic acid embryo. Typically, a no DNA embryo reports due to some kind of error with the biopsy sample, perhaps not enough tissue, etc. Does not necessarily mean that the embryo will be abnormal. In my experience as an IVF nurse, I would say it's about 50-50. As far as once rebiopsied, what comes back, generally normal or abnormal. The biggest thing to consider is that the embryo now needs to be thawed, biopsied again, and refrozen, which poses a slight risk to the embryo. I would say hopefully you trust your doctor, will trust their opinion on whether the risk to the embryo is worth it. And I hope that helps. That's from Anonymous. Thank you, Anonymous. I mean, it is a lot of stress on the thing that only knows how to be frozen.
Yeah. When you put it that way, and it's just a collection of cells.
True.
Yeah.
Unless you're in Texas.
Oh, boy.
Pew, pew.
Wow. All right. We heard from a different Anonymous on another topic. Hi, Dory and Matt. I know I'm a week late in responding to the HR person who was asking about what infertility benefits would be meaningful, but I wanted to add something that's been helpful for me. I have a small amount of infertility coverage through my employer, $5,000 a year, for the treatment of infertility. Under my insurance, any tests to diagnose infertility are covered under my main medical benefits and have a low deductible and no annual maximum. After my insurance tried to use $2,000 of my $5,000 annual maximum infertility treatment benefit to cover my HSG test, the test to see if your fallopian tubes are open, my employer finally helped me get a patient advocate at my health insurance company. The advocate is someone I can contact directly about any insurance-related questions, and they've gotten to know me and my infertility benefits very well, unlike the general customer support people at my insurance company who either knew nothing about my coverage or told me to be grateful that I had any coverage at all and that I should stop fighting with them. I think patient advocates are more...
Oh, man, that's just like...
Very annoying.
Just boring dystopia.
I think patient... Yeah. Advocates are more common for people going through cancer or other complex and other long-term and long-term health issues, but I was so grateful to have them help me through all of my medical claims for infertility, and I would highly recommend that other employers offer this to their employees going through infertility. As you know, infertility is such a draining and emotional process, and no one needs the added stress of dealing with medical insurance customer service representatives who know nothing about infertility or your coverage. Thank you so much for continuing to make the podcast. I wrote in earlier this year about sperm DNA fragmentation and really appreciated the advice I got from you and also from your listeners. I'm currently 9 weeks pregnant with our first science baby. Oh, yay. And I'm
You're welcome.
And I'm hoping this babe sticks around so we can meet them in April. Me too. 3,000 square feet in Minneapolis with me, my husband, our two-year-old lab mix, two cats, and one science baby on the way. Still no hot dogs this year.
Wow. I feel like Minneapolis is a brat town.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You know, I've never been to Minneapolis.
I have, and I love it.
I've heard it's great.
I would like to have spent more time there. Thank you. It's where I first had, I've said this before, I'll say it again, macaroni and cheese pizza. Thank you.
Oh.
I believe we played the Varsity Theater in Minneapolis a couple of times. Always great. Love Minneapolis.
I've always wanted to go to Minneapolis, but never gotten around to it.
You know, I used to tour around.
I know, you did.
With the podcast.
Yeah.
And then do some comedy. Used to open up on the road for some folks. And now I'm just almost 40. I have a 2.5-year-old who I barely saw today because I was peeing up my butt. Getting old is a lot of fun.
Has Matt mentioned that he has been peeing out his butt?
I mean, if the episode is not called Peeing Out Your Butt, Dory did a good job by resisting my urge.
I mean, on the one hand, I feel like people should know what they're into, getting into.
Well, they should also know what they're into. Maybe they listen to this and they discover something about themselves.
Yeah.
Like the fun new character trait of Craig Robinson. Okay, guys. Are you ready?
Yep.
For the next one?
Yep.
This is from Jocelyn. Dory's going to read it because she's better at it.
Wait a second.
I could take over midway through if
That's
you'd like.
That's a trick. All right, I'll start. Hi, Dory, Matt, Henry, and Bo. I'm a longtime listener, second-time emailer. When I emailed you a couple of years ago, I was just starting our fertility treatments, and now I have a beautiful six-month-old science baby. I'm a crossover listener from The Next Conversation, and I'm seriously
thinking about joining. Go ahead.
The President's Circle, because I need somewhere to dish about Voyager.
The United Federation of Planets President's Circle.
That's what you'd hear if you were in the President's Circle. But you're not. So we gotta get out of here. Okay.
Wow. Matt is really having fun with the soundboard
tonight.
Matt
is a little loopy.
Yeah, I see that. I figured I'd have no reason to write in again, but the topics you're discussing recently that are relevant to me just keep piling up. I'm hoping to send out a postpartum signal. While I know this podcast is focused on fertility, I've learned that the ability to crowdsource information from the Eggsland Adventure community is truly invaluable. So, here's my issue. I had my daughter in March after a rough 48 hours of insufficient contractions when I developed a placental slash uterine infection that resulted in an emergency C-section. The following week, I was hospitalized again for postpartum preeclampsia. Even though we were ultimately safe and sound, I've had a little bit of trauma responses from the birth-like hyper-awareness and tiny flashbacks, and it's taking time to feel confident as a mom. Anyway, a few weeks after the birth, I started to experience some skin irritation on my arms and legs. I attribute it to dehydration, lack of lotion, maybe even stress. My whole body felt icky, so that made sense to me. However, months went by and it didn't get better. I finally went to a dermatologist a few weeks ago and he prescribed some sort of topical cream, one for the arms and legs, thinking it is folliculitis, and one for a rash on my belly, thinking it's ID infection. I've been super careful applying these because I'm still breastfeeding, so I'm pretty cognizant of what I put on and when I don't. The thing is, although the outward symptoms are fading, I still feel the irritation and almost like it's always on the verge of returning in full force. I went back to the dermatologist and he basically said, stay the course. I get the feeling he's not sure what to do with me. As he mentioned, he's never heard of someone having folliculitis for so long. Seemed a bit confounded. I feel like it's possibly anxiety related. Is that even possible? So I'm hoping you can send out the postpartum skin irritation signal. Does anyone have any experience with this or leads I can follow? Now, I must...
Hang on. Let's just address that section because it seems very different from the next section.
It is. Okay. First of all, I'm sorry that you had such a traumatic experience. As someone who also had a somewhat traumatic birth...
Tell me about it.
But not...
I was more traumatized.
Matt was definitely more traumatized than I was, but it was somewhat traumatic. But I did not have this postpartum preeclampsia. That sounds pretty awful. Anyway, sorry that you experienced that. I am going to suggest that you maybe pay a visit to like an immunologist. Look, I'm no doctor, but this sounds like this could be some sort of like autoimmune reaction.
That's not what you told me this morning when you were pretending to telemedicine with me.
Well, you didn't want to continue the conversation because you were just like, Imodium.
That's it. Thanks. And I ran off to the drugstore.
So
like I skipped to the drugstore.
You didn't want to hear my not a doctor.
It's weird that you do that after you're giving medical advice.
What?
It's weird that you would say that after you gave the advice.
No, but I said it before. I said it before I gave the advice. I said I'm not a doctor, but
Dr. Butt.
Yep. So I would maybe see an immunologist or oh my gosh, there's another doctor, type of doctor that...
Funk?
Hold on.
Doctor Funk?
No, let me...
All right, so it's not a funk doctor.
I think it is a... Looking it up. It's very slow. Yes, a rheumatologist.
Oh, yeah. I always consult them before I take any of the medications I see on television.
Well, rheumatologists treat autoimmune diseases.
Yes, I find that you're often consulting your rheumatologist before you take things.
So, and you know, you can, like, autoimmune diseases can affect any, like, they can affect your skin, they can affect various things. And
guys, the largest organ on your body is your skin.
And look, again, I'm no doctor, but I feel like it is possible that your traumatic birth experience and your preeclampsia could have triggered something in your immune system. I should be a doctor.
I think you should finally get that PhD.
And be a doctor of...
A doctor of the arts.
The arts. An arts doctor.
Dory will now finish her book. Her second book, or third book, rather. This one about now, how she decided finally to get her PhD.
I was thinking I would get an MD.
I mean, look, it seems like... I feel like a lot of your earlier credits aren't going to count. But
no, none of them will. And I took no science in college.
Yeah. Ooh.
Well, I took astronomy.
By the way, that's the least surprising thing you've ever said to me.
Well, that I took no science in college?
Yes.
I took astronomy and I got a C+.
Well, hey, that is my favorite programming language. Oh, all the guys out there are laughing. Wow. So girls as well. Everyone can program.
I know C++.
I guess I meant nerds.
Okay. Now on to
it
the
is
next.
C++.
Yeah. Huh. Who knew the real name of it?
We all did, but whatever.
All right. Next topic of this email.
Yes.
Now, I must divulge that my husband and I have been loyal Disneyland annual pass holders for years prior to the pandemic.
So now are you magic key holders?
So I've most definitely got a bias here. But I think, while yes, some of the food at Disneyland is undeniably not great, I think what you're forgetting is that non-Disney amusement parks have notoriously terrible food.
This is true.
That is a really good
point,
actually.
This is an
excellent
point. Actually, yes.
Like, maybe we shouldn't be comparing Disney food to, like...
To food.
To restaurant food. We should be comparing it to other shitty amusement park food.
This is true. This is very true.
Now, I don't know much about Universal's options, but if you look at Six Flags or other regional parks, all you're going to get is, like, crappy burgers and maybe, if you're lucky, a decent funnel cake.
You're correct.
Disney parks do, at least these days, offer lots of options with great atmosphere, and sometimes it's pretty great. Yes to the bread bowls. Yes to the corn dogs. Yes to beignets. But have you also considered the fried chicken at the Plaza Inn?
No, because I hate fried chicken.
Or any of the fudge?
I love fudge.
Or how about the Monte Cristo in New Orleans Square?
Never had it. But I hear recently now it's only half of a Monte Cristo for the same price.
But I feel like you like a Monte Cristo
little
type sandwich.
I've never had one.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. Because like they always seem like... I have this like game where I lie to myself about trying to be healthy.
Oh, I see.
And like Monte Cristo is like a bridge too far where it's like, I can't.
I see.
Can't. Instead, I'll have two bags of beignets.
Where were we? Oh, and if you really want to try some fun stuff, go to one of the food festivals in California Adventure. Some of the snack size portions are phenomenal. Some suck, but we just smile and bear it because Disneyland is life.
Well, look, I agree with that statement when it's overcast, below 70 degrees. And that's it. Thank you.
You know, I would call this reframing the narrative.
Well, I think when you... Yeah, I mean, it's not something actually I've ever really even thought about doing. I guess you sort of think of Disney as a city in and of itself.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and like they offer quote-unquote fine dining.
Well, that is... I've never been to Victoria and Albert's, but supposedly. Come on.
Yeah. Finally, my husband and I both grew up in Phoenix, and after a five-year stint in Chicago, we agreed Phoenix would be a better place to start our marriage because of finances, family, and friends nearby, blah, 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 but always with the understanding that we would try someplace new after a few years because I literally become a terrible human April through September from the heat.
Yes.
And by heat, I mean anything over 85 degrees.
Well, look, you're 15 degree higher tolerance than me, but I appreciate what you're saying.
After working from home for the last year and a half with no end in sight, we've decided that we want to start exploring our options since we can't seem to make up our minds on where to go. We've come up with a plan. We are renting an apartment in Chicago next summer for a month to get out of the heat. Okay, wait. Sidebar. Isn't Chicago really hot in the summer?
I mean, they have a hell of a breeze from the lakes, but...
It's not, like, cool there.
I don't ever think of Chicago as cool. But you live there, so you know better than us. You lived 5 years, so...
Take the baby on a city adventure and just generally, I guess it's cooler than Phoenix in the summer.
That's absolutely true.
Just generally because we're not ready to completely leave Phoenix. I know you guys are trying to put together an eventual plan for balancing Matt's work ties to LA and your desire to be closer to family in Boston. What if you rented a place in Boston for a month or two each summer so Henry and his cousins still get that bonding time, but you don't have to commit to any one place just yet? Yes, it's expensive, but we're putting money aside every month to save up for it, and we're not renting the most luxurious place in the world. Just someplace we feel comfortable and close to the L. Anyway, just an idea, since as a Phoenician who experienced the housing bubble and burst in 2008, I know that real estate is not the guaranteed safe investment it used to be. Thank you for all you do, and sorry for the long emails. Extra sorry for all the exclamation points. Listen, Jocelyn, do not apologize. This was a great email. I appreciate all the exclamation points.
A lot of twists and turns.
A lot of twists and turns. A lot of topics covered. Jocelyn is living in 2,100 square feet in Phoenix with one husband, one science baby, and one very old German shepherd mix who is the OG love of my life. Aww. Let's go with 15 hot dogs this year. Whoops, there goes lots of minutes from my life, but always beef hot dogs because I follow way too many cute pigs on Instagram.
Interesting.
What do you think about this idea?
Of renting a place in Boston for the summer?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. I mean, I'd rent that place in the Cape we one time rented.
Yeah, that was
although
a great place.
I believe
place.
That would cost $20,000
so much money. Yeah, for a whole month.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be crazy.
All right. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
We'll look into something.
Yeah, this is great.
I mean, that's sort of what we've talked about. We talked about buying a place up there instead of just renting here all year. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, your option seems cheaper.
Yeah. And, like, less of a long-term commitment.
Mm-hmm. We all know neither of us love a long-term commitment. All right. Disco bath time. Dime.
Well, you know what? I think it's time to take a break before disco bath time.
Well, tune in, everybody. We'll be back with some disco bath time.
And I need the voicemail thing.
Okay. I don't know. I thought you were still talking about...
No, I wasn't.
I thought we had not thrown a break yet.
Oh, I thought we had.
Okay. Well, you can throw it a break so you know when we've done it. When we done it.
Okay. Let's take a break.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
All right, we're back.
Hello.
And disco bath time. This is a text that came in on the wire. Disco bath time. We've done that a lot with our 5-year-old now, only with glow sticks. You can get them at the dollar store, and they make great stocking stuffer, Easter basket stuffer. They're not exactly sustainable. We'll have to try glowing golf balls. Thanks. That's Cassie, Seattle suburbs, 2 adults, 5-year-old boy, 19-month-old baby, science baby girl, and 1 cat, 2,800 square feet, 4 hot dogs in 2021. And let me tell you, you're going to do much better with these golf balls.
Yeah, we had a discussion about golf balls versus glow sticks.
On Amazon. Dory will link to it on her page so she can get some sort of affiliate money. Do you have affiliate links?
Yeah, I have a shop at amazon.com/shop/Dory.
Well, there you go.
If you send me the link, I can add it literally right now.
Here, I literally don't want to go because I purchased it in August of 2021. August 20th. And this, let me tell you, is a hoot. You're going to love it. It is $22.95. You can subscribe and save if you really think you're going to need to. And you get 6 golf balls, all different colors. And they all, when hit, light up for 8 minutes. And we have not had one of them die yet.
Amazing.
And he plays with them quite a bit. That's the beauty of the LED. So there you go. Go to dory.com/dory/net.
Amazon.com.
Oh, yeah.
/shop.
Yep.
/dory.
Okay. Make sure you get the ones that I'm telling you because there's other ones that aren't great. Thank you. You're welcome. Good day, everyone.
Okay. Thank you, Matt.
Now, Dana writes in to say, thank you for the Boston advice. You made me reconsider our original plan. We may just rent a car and stay in Salem now instead. It sounds like there's a lot of nice towns to check out nearby. And we can visit Boston properly, easily enough, another time. Also, it sounds silly to fly into Boston. It's an hour flight. But our flight credit was about to expire. Didn't want to completely go to waste. There was nowhere else to fly that felt relatively safe. Lots of direct flights to Florida, for example. One of those emojis that is very shocked. Thanks again. Or terrified, I would say. That's Dana. Dana, I think renting a car is a great way to go. That was Dory's original idea. Dory Shafrir, idea lady. Thank you all. Once again. But yeah, the Salem is great. Marblehead, like there's so many like seaside towns, and you can have yourself your share of delicious fried whole belly clams.
Well, Jared wrote in with some suggestions for Dana.
Yes, Jared.
Jared writes, I moved to Boston 3.5 years ago, so I'm not born and raised, but I guess I would consider myself a Bostonian now. Mm-hmm. Personally, I think Salem is overrated.
Overrated. Go ahead.
But if that's your thing and it's the day trip you are determined to make happen while up in the Boston area, here's how I would get there. Take Dory's advice and rent a car. Chances are you won't spend the whole day in Salem, and this will offer you the freedom to venture out into other areas of the North Shore like Gloucester or Rockport, which are quintessential sleeping New England coastal towns, and mm-hmm. you'll be hitting them out of tourist season, so parking anywhere up there should not be an issue. Make a full day of it, get in the car early, swing up to Saugus and treat yourself, and pick up a couple of donuts from Kane's Donuts and bring them over to Nahant Beach. Where you may get to enjoy watching some frisky dogs run around on the beach chasing seabirds while you indulge in the sugary goodness of Canes. Make your way up to Salem and see what you are wanting to see. Wow, this guy really hates Salem.
I get it.
Go treat yourself to a lobster roll for late lunch in Gloucester or Rockport. They might not be open for lobster rolls. Like, I feel like a lot of lobster shacks are seasonal.
Yeah, but there are also, because of these particularly sleepy towns like Gloucester and Rockport, have stuff for locals year-round.
That's true. These are all just suggestions, but I think it would make for a pretty great fall day as long as the weather is cooperative. I have no idea what the rates are for renting a car from Back Bay Station, but you could also look into using the rental app Get Around, basically the Airbnb of personal vehicles. Could get better rates and find something more conveniently located near where you choose to stay. Staying in Boston, Matt nailed it by saying the eastern part of Back Bay near the Commons. Could also look into Beacon Hill Airbnbs. Well, I think now they're staying in Salem.
Well, look, this is what happens.
However, you'll be coming during off-market tourist time. So again, as Matt nailed it, you Boom. Should consider a hotel because you may get great rates with nicer amenities.
Matt nailed it twice.
If you're active people and want to see most of the city in a day, consider getting either a day or weekend pass to the Blue Bikes all around Boston.
That's nice.
Easy way to get from Back Bay to Fenway to Harvard if you are comfortable riding with city traffic, and most times it's much quicker than utilizing the T. Mm-hmm. Could be a little cold on the bike in November, but it's an option. Most of the city does have protected bike lanes, and Google Maps has an option to show best bike routes using those. Wear a dang helmet, though. That is all. Jared, formerly from Brookline in one bedroom, one bath, 700 a square feet, but just
Whoa.
Made the move to Newton
Whoa.
Into 1400-ish.
Whoa.
Three bedroom.
Whoa.
One bath.
That's so great.
And a deck.
Whoa.
Probably around 7 or 8 Costco dogs this year as I make my Costco run every 4 to 5 weeks.
I am excited by Jared's email. Dory, you nailed it, but I nailed it twice. Thank you. I'm very proud of me.
Okay.
Mostly me. Still me.
Okay. Well, we got one more voicemail about this topic. People
okay.
have thoughts about Salem and Boston.
This is interesting. I'd like to hear this. Oh, and when I'm going to hear it, I'll turn the button on.
Oh, okay.
And then we'll hear it. Here we go.
Okay. Hi, this is Kim from Denver calling. In your last episode, totally separate topics came up that made me realize that Matt might live in the intersection of a Venn diagram that I feel like I'm the only person in, which is people who have been to the Salem Witch Museum and are fans of Gilmore Girls. So there's a Gilmore Girls episode where an old house gets turned into a Stars Hollow history museum that is this set of ridiculous dioramas. And when I first saw that episode, I just thought, oh my God, this is the Salem Witch Museum. But of course, all of my friends that watch Gilmore Girls weren't from the Boston area and didn't go to the Salem Witch Museum growing up. And my friends who had been to the Salem Witch Museum weren't watching Gilmore Girls, and there was no one to appreciate the magic of this for me. So I just was hoping that Matt would be able to appreciate that, and I could feel like I wasn't alone in this.
I'm living in
3,700 square feet in Denver with a 3-year-old, a 5-year-old science baby, a 3-year-old black lab, and a husband. And, so many hot dogs. Not me personally, but the number of hot dogs being consumed in my house is insane because, again, 3- and 5-year-olds. Although they're often all beef, so I guess they don't count.
I remember that. And I remember Sean Gunn? God. Yes, Sean Gunn. His character was there. And it was Taylor Ducey. Taylor Ducey was the... He opened it up. He's the town busybody, I'll say. Thank you. Gilmore Girls. Story someday. You'll watch it. Maybe.
I feel like it hasn't aged well. I feel like the window for me to have watched it was like 20 years ago.
I feel like it hasn't aged well?
Yeah.
In what sense?
I don't know. I feel like I keep seeing people be like, I tried watching Gilmore Girls and it's like super homophobic or like... I don't know, various things.
That's an interesting thing. I don't know. I'd have to revisit. Seems odd.
Look, I don't know. I've never watched it.
All right. Well, you can watch it.
Maybe I'll watch it.
I've decided you can watch it. Thank you.
Okay.
Now it's pretty much the end of the show.
Yep.
Dory.
Yeah, it is.
Because we don't have any more emails.
That's true.
Is this gonna work?
Yep.
Oh, okay. In that case, let's thank the people who did email us first. Say thank you, everybody. Let's extra thank the people who called us.
Yep. Extra thanks to you.
And let's now extra, extra, extra thanks the people who are in the equivalent of our president circle here. They are supporting us on the Patreon, and they're getting up to 2 bonus episodes every month. Patreon.com/excellentadventure. If you're at the $5 level or above, not only do you get that sweet, sweet bonus episode, but you get your name read on the podcast as a thank you each month and that massive back catalog of episodes. So, thanks to the following folks: Frederick Roa,
Greg Watchorn,
Greta Truitt,
Hannah Crowder,
Hillary Berry,
Jackie G,
Jennifer Steele,
Jess Branch,
Jesse Hendricks,
Jessica Grigsby,
Jessica Manolovich,
Julia Schulenberg,
Julie McLaren,
Kane McCall,
Karen Kershey,
Kat C,
Catherine Lene,
Catherine Shimmons,
Katie Regan,
Kelly Zimmerman,
Carrie Mills,
Kim Mestra,
Christopher Fanegi,
Kinsey Hamilton,
Laura
Dodge,
LFB,
Liesel,
Lindsay Gish,
Linnea Wynn,
Lisa Travis,
Liz,
Molly,
Mail,
sure,
Marina Breed,
Martin Hedegaard Peterson.
Mary Jo George.
Maude Tremblay.
Mackenzie Erickson.
Magana Prasad.
Melinda Phelps.
Michael Ron.
And Michelle Kitz Miller.
Oh my goodness. Thank you all so very, very much. We'll talk to you again next week, and I'll give you all the update on my butt you were hoping for.
Bye-bye.